Next, we will have a report and possible discussion on Lake Granbury Canal Engineering Study Update.
Madam Chairman, the committee, board members, we have our consultants coming forward as well. As they move forward, if I could, just for a moment, as you recall, you implemented a continuance of the moratorium on canal cut-throughs here at Lake Granbury previously until we completed our watershed protection plan here at the lake. As I mentioned before, that has caused some consternation, I think, with the city officials anyway, as far as development here at Granbury, specifically where they have an interest in a canal development yet, which would provide more waterfront property for folks as well. Phil and I met with Senator Averett and the mayor and city manager about 3 weeks or so ago down in Austin, and talked a little bit more about this and specifically about the work that we were contracting out based on your approval at a previous board meeting with Brown and Gay to look really at overall feasibility of future canals at the lake, as well as design specifications that would hopefully, if in fact it is feasible to have a few more canals on the lake, design specifications that would be water quality friendly, have some science behind them as a developer would go in and make a cut into this lake. The biggest concern that we have certainly is the stagnant water that happens as you develop canals. You'll see that this afternoon. We'll take you to some older canal areas and some of the newer ones, some that are on regional wastewater. I think the city's concern anyway is that as long as you've got regional wastewater tied in with these canals and developments, that it shouldn't be a problem. And I think that's their biggest frustration, probably, if I could use that word, with the authority right now. In our view, there's a lot more than just regional wastewater tie-in when you put a canal in, all the dissolved oxygen, nitrate issues, and that you have with stagnant water. And that's our concern, that's what we're really trying to deal with. So Phil had asked that we have Brown and Gay come forward today. I have a police
I'm not going to speak very long, but turn it over to Melinda, but we're on a 120-day timetable on this first phase authorized at this point, and we're got a notice to proceed Friday a week ago, so we're off and running, and we have some recommendations at the end of the first phase, which will address the feasibility of moving forward on solutions to the town. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Melinda to talk about the scope elements and the various things that we
Next slide. Yes, Dorian just told you this is a three-phase project. We're just beginning phase one that the board approved. And basically the focus of that phase is just to determine the feasibility of continued canal development that addresses and the environmental and safety concerns that the BRA has. So once we determine the answer to that question, in the second phase, we'll actually begin to address if we have development, you know, where should that occur and what should that look like as far as the guidelines that are developed and guidelines that are based on science. And then phase three will actually work cooperatively with other agencies to develop guidance documents. This will probably be issues that the BRA addresses themselves, and perhaps other officials in the city and county also address pieces of this, so we're hoping to work cooperatively with other agencies. Next slide. Here's the schedule. Briefly, we just received the notice to proceed. Everything should be wrapped up by August 3rd. We understand that this is a sensitive issue. People would like to see it progress faster, so we'll do what we can, but realistically, it is going to take some time. Phase two will begin once we get complete with phase one, and you've authorized that. Phase three shouldn't be too long, 50 days for that aspect of the project. Next slide. I haven't given you all the things that we're going to look at in phase one. I'm not going to talk about them all. You might read through a lot of these, but initially we're just going to start off by just looking at the available information that's out there. There's a lot of water quality data, and we're not going to start from scratch, but review what's already existing. Look at the aerial photos, maps, survey data that's available. We've already started a literature search, and a bibliography is being developed now, looking at what other people do in this sort of situation, so let's not reinvent the wheel. If other people have policies, we want to look at those and see if we can work with those policies. We need to look at what permits are required and what triggers the need for permits, both from construction and water quality. Next slide. We want to look at different water quality parameters, the dissolved oxygen, the nutrients, the sediment, bacteria, physical design of canals has a lot to do with the water quality. And then we need to look at what kind of parameters are appropriate for the recreational use that does occur on Lake Granbury. And then to assess the capability of the lake to support future canal development from water quality and also a water rights perspective, because as you build more canals, you are impounding more water, and that needs to be looked at. Next slide, please. Then in the next phase, once we determine whether or not canal development is feasible, we'll have to identify the best areas. Certainly, as the elevation of the water in the lake goes up and down, that affects the water quality. Certainly, the depth of water in the canal has a profound effect on the dissolved oxygen. So that's something that needs to be looked at. And you also need to balance that with the navigation aspects and the stability of the canals. A lot of times people want deeper canals for boats. That's not always the best situation for dissolved oxygen. So there may be some balancing that has to occur. Then there's ownership implications. Who owns that canal? Who's going to maintain that canal? Should BRA own that canal? We need to come up with some recommendations for that. Whoever owns that, there's going to be some cost of ownership in maintaining that water quality. If BRA decides they're going to own that canal, how are they going to recoup those fees? Is that going to be passed on to developers or other entities? The impact on flooding and the required flowage easements, that's another aspect. Next slide. We're going to look at the aquatic plant issues and explore control options. Going back to the water quality, looking at mechanical versus the passive means to enhance water quality. It's likely that you may have to have mechanical mixing of some of the canals, and that's where you would have maintenance issues that it's an ongoing cost that someone would have to take care of. Of course, you have the details related to what should the canals look like. Should they be flow-through canals, or can they just be fingerlings where they have dead ends? Dead ends, you know, you have a lot of water quality issues at those dead ends. Of course, there's the structural requirements for the bulkheads, standards for boat docks, which also can affect the water quality, runoff protection into those canals. And then as we look at the different things, we want to assess the potential water quality improvements that we might see if we decide to adjust some of these things. We'll probably do some modeling so we can try to quantify that. And that's what we mean as far as the phase two, coming up with recommendations that are based on science. Next slide, please. There's the water rights issue that we talked about before. Looking at how we're going to implement this, the roles of the various agencies. There will be stakeholder meetings during phase one, phase two, and phase three. I think this is going to need to be a cooperative effort. And then depending on the different agencies that are involved, what might the guidance documents look like? Might be different types of guidance documents for different aspects. Next slide. And then the phase three is actually going to develop the documents. This should be the simplest part, right? Once we decide what we want to do, getting everybody to agree. We talk about working together in a cooperative effort here, so we look forward to that. I believe that's it. We have one more. That's it. So basically a three-phase project. I did want to say that we have received a copy of an ordinance that I guess the city of Granbury has put together. And, you know, there's a lot of things in there that certainly we will probably be looking at. but it's kind of premature at this point to really make any comments related to those, to that ordinance. But we have received that, and as I said earlier, we are going to be looking at what other people are doing and not trying to reinvent the wheel, but assess the information that's available. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Erin. Melinda, for driving, using the video with us today. One thing I would add, reference the city ordinance that Melinda just referred to. That came out of the meeting that we had with Senator Abert and the city that morning. The city had mentioned that they had some engineering specifications, design specifications for the canals. We asked if we could get a copy of that and told them that we would provide that to the consultants and let them take a look at it for review as well, and any cooperation they might do as they look for this right science to do it. It ended up being versus engineering specifications, a portion of a city ordinance that they developed with some specifications that the city has within there as far as canals and that. But we'll look at that certainly with the consultants as we move forward. That's all I have, ma'am. Unless you have other questions.
If not, this is a report only, so no action is necessary, and motion to adjourn will be in order. EJ.